Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to the Summit with Adam Toe and those that are listening to the Summit Internet Radio Podcast Show. God bless you on today. We are back. Yes, I know last weekend, if you're listening to me, first of all, if you're listening to me right now, whether you're listening to me on the podcast or whether you're listening to me on the Spirit Alive Network, it is a beautiful, beautiful Saturday morning and or afternoon, whether it be whatever part of the coast you live on. It is a beautiful, beautiful Saturday. And not only is it a beautiful, beautiful Saturday, but this is the day that the Lord has made. And we shall rejoice and be glad in it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Today we are talking about a very, very good topic today that has pressed my spirit on today. The Lord had had me do this. Well, I have never preached this message, but it was a title to a message that the Lord gave me a couple years ago that I have not preached yet. But the title of this topic today is a 911 emergency.
Oh, glory.
Yeah. We are in a state of emergency. Y'all, hear me today. If I've never been so... I know I joke. I joke sometimes and I laugh sometimes on the show and stuff, but this right here is no joking matter. This right here is no laughing matter. This, what the Lord has given us to talk about today, is no joking matter and it's no playing matter. Because it has to deal with souls and it has to deal with life today, while we live in this life, to move on into eternal life. There are, and you've heard me say this before, but before I do that, I do want to say, I want to thank Bishop Cook for standing in the stead on last week. I had a issue that I had to take care of, and I'm not going to go into deep detail about it, but the Lord, I can say the Lord is a healer. In spite of what we go through, the Lord is a healer. On today, we're talking about a 911 emergency. And the way the Lord gave this to me is you might have an emergency in your life that you need corrected. And in the natural, when we have emergencies, we call the 911 dispatcher, and the 911 dispatcher says, 911, this is 911, how may I help you? Or how may I direct your call? And we tell them what we need. We either need a police, firefighter, or an ambulance, or whatever. But today, this 911 emergency is for souls. This 911 emergency is for the church. This 911 emergency is for each and every person on the face of the earth. This 911 emergency is not of the natural, but it is of the spiritual. We have so many people that are in a 911 spiritual emergency, and they have called on the Lord. They have called on different things to take care of their emergency, except for the one that can bring the healing, the one that can bring the uprightness, the one that can bring the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the goodness. I'm saying the fruits of the Spirit today. We have to understand that we're all going to be faced with in our lives. If you haven't, keep on living. Everybody in their life is going to go through a 911 emergency. Everybody, whether you saint or sinner, We have a 911 emergency in the church right now. We have people. Well, you might say, well, Minister Tuggle, what are you talking about? We have a 911 emergency in the church. We have a 911 emergency in the church, and I'm going to give you an example. False prophets. We have a 911 emergency in the church. We have people that are doing this just for the glitz and the glamour and the fame. Come on here. Y'all ain't hear me. We have a 911 emergency because we got wolves in sheep's clothing. Come on, I'm going to hit it again. I'm going to hit something else today. We have a 911 emergency because we have sinners out there that don't want to come to church because they feel like they're going to be judged. Because of the people that have turned their nose up that are so-called saved. But I'm here to tell you today, if you're one of those people, such was some of us. Such was some of us. The Bible says, such was some of us. The Bible says, judge not, and lest thou be judged. Now, there's a difference between judging and say, well, I got to tell my brother or my sister, I got to tell my family that they're in sin. Yes, you have to. But it's the way you do it. Are you doing it out of love? Or are you doing it out of anger? Come on here. Are you doing it out of being, are you being wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove? Or are you being harmful as a serpent and not wise? Come on. I think it went over somebody's head. Let me show you something. When you are witnessing to a soul, whether they be saved, whether they be unsaved, whether you're encouraging the brother, sister, I've said this on the show before. I am not jealous of Bishop Cook's ministry. Believe it or not, I believe that Bishop Cook got a better ministry than I got. Why? Because she's doing something that a lot of us wouldn't do. Have a bigger ministry than I have. It says esteem your brother higher than yourself. But we want to, when we see our brother and sister down, we want to step on their necks. Oh, you know that brother sinned. We want to come to church and see what the pastor has on. Come on here. We got a 911 emergency. We got a 911 emergency of going off. We going off isms and schisms and worrying about who's singing this solo and who's singing that solo. And I can preach better than the pastor preach. Why is the pastor always picking on me? Why is it? Come on here. Y'all better, we need to get it together because time is of the essence. The Lord is not concerned about who sings the solo, believe it or not. The Lord is not concerned about how much you jump and shout around a church, even though he wants that. He honors that. But don't you know you can dance your way to hell? You can dance. You can shout and dance your way to hell. Uh-oh. You might say, well, that's kind of harsh. I didn't come to be nice today. That's kind of harsh. What you mean I'm going to dance and shout my way to heaven? Shouting and praising the Lord is good, but that's not going to get you into heaven. That does not make you saved. You can feel the Spirit of God, but don't have him on the inside of you. When you get him on the inside of you, it will make you do, it will transform your life. It will transform your life so big that people that you come in contact with, it should so much transform our life that people that you come in contact with, they should know that you're saved even before you say something, before a word comes out of your mouth. For example, I went to a store downtown, and I was shopping at Carson's, downtown of Indianapolis. And I was down there, and I was looking around, and I picked up a couple things, and I went to the cash register, getting ready to check out. And the lady said, the lady that was bringing me out, she said, you have, she said, what's, I don't understand what's going on. I don't know what's going on, but you have such a glow on you. Why are you just like, you are so bright. And she didn't mean bright by smart, but she saw the glow of the Lord on me. You know how we get and keep our glow on us? You know how we get and keep our holiness? Prayer and fasting. Reading the Word of God. It ain't just praising the Lord. If you always over there, look, I'm going to hit it today. I'm going to hit the church. I'm going to hit the church big time because we know better. We know better. We, and when I say we, I mean me too. I'm throwing myself in there because there's some things that Adam Tuggle needs to get together because I ain't arrived just as well as anybody else. Just because I got minister as a title does not make me better than anybody else. I ain't arrived. I will arrive when I make it to heaven. That's when we'll know we have arrived. We've arrived. We've arrived to heaven. Because that's our final destination. That's the destination everybody wants to go. But I said this on a podcast before. We have to travel light. On the show, not last week, but the week before, I talked about don't leave here like you came. Don't leave here like you came. And I was talking about the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5, verses, I believe it's 24 through 34, where it talks about this woman with the issue, and she had dealt with this issue for 12 long years. But she heard about a man. She heard about a man. This man named Jesus coming through her town. And before Jesus came through her town, she had dealt with this issue. She had gone to physician after physician after physician. Relief for this issue. And in this 911 emergency, we got so many issues going on, saint and sinner alike. We got issue after issue after issue going on, but yet we want to use different avenues. See, I'm going to give this example. She went to physician after physician after physician. We go to this person and that person and this person and that person. And you know what? When you go to this person and that person, it's not always good to tell all your drama to somebody. To tell all your weaknesses to somebody. Well, I'm going through this. You don't know who you messing up. Stop doing that. I don't tell. Look, when I'm at church, unless I'm telling my pastor, who I know who can handle it, I ain't telling everybody in the church what's going on with me. Yeah, I've known them for years, but I ain't telling everybody. No. You might be saved for 40-something years and still be a baby in the church. You still on the sincere milk of the Word of God. You can't hold strong meat. We got people that are messing up people because they're telling people about their issues. They're telling the wrong people about their issues. They're telling babies in Christ. They're telling adults in Christ that, hey, this is going on with me. And you deterring them. Some of us tell sinners. Why are you telling a sinner about your stuff? We got a 911 emergency. You hindering people. When you do stuff like that, when we do stuff like that, we are hindering people. We're hindering. We're not helping. We're hindering. And this is not up for debate neither. When I say this ain't up for debate, this is God's word. This is the way God wants it, so that's why it's not up for debate. God has not commanded us to tell every pain, every sickness, every issue that goes on in our life to tell somebody that is not strong enough to hold it. let me give you an example. I've seen some people in the church get upset at the pastor because they thought that they told their confession. How did my business get around the church? Because you took your business around the church, you told everybody, and then them people told somebody, and then finally, after you did all that, you took it to the pastor, and now you want to blame the pastor. Pastor ain't doing nothing. I've seen this. I've seen this happen. Or, on the flip side of that, I've seen some pastors which should not be doing this, and woe unto you if you're doing it. I've seen some pastors tell people's confessions, and it messed up that individual, messed up them individuals. And them individuals are messed up doing that. You a busybody. Look, stop being a busybody. Please. Can we please, please. And look, let me tell you something. For the people that think, and I'm going to break this down because we're dealing with isms and schisms and stuff, so I'm going to deal with this right now. There is no such thing. See, in this 911 emergency, we got so many issues. We can't deal with them all on this show, but we're going to deal with some of them today. We are going to kill a devil today. I'm going to kill me a devil today. I came with my sword and my shield, my breastplate of righteousness, my helmet of salvation, my feet shone with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm ready to war today. I'm ready to go to war. And I'm going to war. My war is not with man. My war is not. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, against all of that stuff that's not in the will of God. So I'm going to kill me a devil today. I'm going to slice his ugly head off. We got all these issues going on in the church. We got people that are hurting. We got people that are hurting right now, that are looking for a way out. But yet we still dealing with the same issues that we dealt with in 1968. We still dealing with the same issues that we dealt with in 1995. We done brought it all the way to 2020. The devil is a liar. You don't like it when the pastor corrects you. The devil is a liar. That's what the pastor's there for. This is why people saying that they don't have to come to, that they don't have to have a relationship, they don't have to come to church to have a relationship with God, because they're afraid. That's no excuse. But this is part of this 911 emergency. We have to have the mindset that we are not going to take nothing less but the best. We're not going to settle for less. We're going to take the best that God has for us. Because in this last hour, we are living in the book of Revelation right now, right here and now. We see the pestilence going on. What do you mean by pestilence? Pestilence, this coronavirus. It was prophesied. Now, I may not have said coronavirus. We have things going on. We got AIDS. We got HIV. We got hypertension. We got all this stuff to deal with. And people worried about who's singing solo. We got people that need to be healed of diabetes and sicknesses and mental illness. And we got people that are worried about who is wearing what in the church. Worrying about petty stuff. What in the world is going on in the church? We got people fighting in the church. Come on here. We got people, I'm not going to give because I know that the pastor got a nice car and a nice house. Look, let me tell you something. It's better to give than to receive. Well, those TV ministers, don't worry about them TV ministers. And I'm going to hit them too. And if any false ones that are listening, oh well. Because I'm not playing. We are not playing today. I'm hitting every area. Every area that the Lord tells me to hit, that's what I'm going to do. Don't you look. People of God, hear me today. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Look in front of you. Look where God tells you to look forward. Don't worry about who's got what. Don't worry about if the pastor's doing wrong with the tithes and the offering, he got the answer or she got the answer to God for that. If you don't like it, find somewhere else to go. Stop doing what God, stop denying God. And I ain't just talking about tithes and offering either. I'm talking about tithes, offering, what else? Worship, praise, obedience. Just be obedient, please. We need to be obedient, myself included. I'm working on, in my own personal life, that the Lord has dealt with me about. Adam, you ain't done this. Adam, I told you to do that months ago. Why you ain't done it yet? We all been there. We've all been there. I done told you to do that about months ago. Why ain't you done it yet, Adam? And I'm using myself. So I won't step on anybody's toes. I feel like I done already stepped on somebody's toes already, but still. We're doing this out of love. We're not doing, and when I say step on somebody's toes, we're not doing this out of harm nor hurting anybody. We're not trying to hurt anybody. We're just trying to preach the gospel in a loving way. But sometimes we as people of God, we gotta cut sin out of our own lives. We gotta stay on our knees. We got to pray. We got to fast. Some of this stuff is only come by prayer and fasting and supplication unto the Lord. We must crucify our flesh. That's the bottom line. And look, if anybody knows me, anybody that knows me, really, really knows me in my younger years knows that I used to like pro wrestling. Don't really watch it much anymore. But when to watch it as a little kid, I used to watch people like Stone Cold and, you know, the way they were, the way their characters were. They were fearless. They were fearless. But we have to be fearless for Christ. And I remember as a child, Stone Cold used to have a saying. And he used to say, that's the bottom line because Stone Cold says so. Well, guess what? This word right here, that's the bottom line because Jesus said so. The bottom line. We must do what the word of God says. We cannot take away. We cannot add. And look, let me say this because I'm going to hit this too. If you are preaching the word of God and you are preaching false stuff, step down. If you preaching false stuff, step down. I ain't got to step down. Why are you telling me to step down? Because you're hindering people. You're hindering people. And you know what? The people that you are hindering, if you are doing this, and if you're preaching above or below what God has told you to preach, if God has told you to preach holiness, and if you ain't done it, woe unto you. You are being a stumbling block, and I'm speaking to you through the power of the Holy Ghost to stop doing what you're doing. Either stop doing what you're doing, or God's going to expose you. Either stop doing what you're doing, or God's going to expose you. God's going to expose the things that are unrighteous. He's going to pull the veil off of you and allow you to be exposed. Why do you think some of these TV evangelists are being exposed? Because God is exposing them. He's shredding the wheat from the tares. He said it in his word. He said that there shall be a great falling away. He exposed. There were several examples where God exposed people. He exposed the money changers. right up in there in the temple. He kicked them out. He exposed them. So don't think that God won't expose you, that he won't expose. They'll let you go and think you're doing right. That's why I said a couple weeks ago, I believe it was a couple weeks ago, there are a lot of preachers that are preaching, that are just preaching sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. There are some preachers, pastors, evangelists, bishops, teachers, whatever you call yourself, cardinals, whatever. Some of them have been fired from the gospel and don't even know that they fired because they're still preaching, because they sound melodious, because they sound good. But your words and your sound is like sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Unless there's an anointing behind it, you ain't doing nothing but sounding. You sound like chimes in the wind. That's all you're doing. It's sounding like chimes in the wind. That's it. We all must understand that we have to do what God has called for us to do. We are in a state of emergency. The reason why this is titled this is because we got people that have come into this world that have left this world, that have come into this world in sin and have left this world in sin and now have went to hell because nobody has helped them. Or they've heard the gospel and then they saw, they heard the gospel and thought about getting saved and they saw somebody say, so-called saved, and now that person that was so-called saved, they ain't living what they live supposed to be living up to, and it messed them up, and now they didn't want to be saved. No excuse, but still. But you became their stumbling block. I've been in church, what, all 32 years of my life. I'm a pew baby. And those that watch me on, or those that catch me on Facebook, I posed a question on Facebook. Was it a blessing? And this was for the people that are raised in church. Pew babies. My church boys and my church girls and church women and church men that were raised in the church. Was it a blessing for you to be raised in the church? Or was it not a blessing to you? And most people said it was a blessing. Pew babies, since I am one. Now, I'm going to say this. To the ones that are doing the watching, I'm not defending what people that are supposed to be saved. I'm not defending if they're doing wrong. I'm not defending they're wrong. I'm not defending it. So what I'm getting ready to say, I'm not defending what they're doing. They should stop. But people that are raised in church, not everybody, not everyone, I'm not saying everybody, but everybody's human, okay? Everybody has, if you've been raised in church and you haven't been raised in the streets and you haven't been, I'll put it this way, you never got a chance to experience the sin lifestyle. What I mean by sin lifestyle, you never got to experience going out and clubbing it up and partying it up and all this stuff because you would live in a home where you were in church every Sunday and you were in Bible class and you were in at Bible Bowl and whatever, choir rehearsal and all that stuff, prayer meeting and all that growing up. Let me tell you something. There's nothing out here for you. But damnation. If you're a young person and you're thinking about, well, I've been in this walk and my friends are, because this is a part of the 911 emergency. This is a part of it. I got friends that are being chilling over here. They're going places and they're doing things and they see me as a They see me just as a church boy, and they don't want to hang out with me. So what? Get you some. Or they see me as a church girl, and they don't want to hang out with me because I'm always talking about the Lord, and I can't go to the clubs with them and enjoy my life because I'm always at church. You know what? My former pastor said this during a sermon one time. There's a lot of living to do over here. A lot of living. I talked about life. And when you are a pew baby, it's hard. It's hard. It does get hard sometimes. But you have the, do you know what? You have, and I'm going to use this example. If you are single, if you're single, if you're not married, you actually have, now, marriages, God has honored marriage. Now, I'm not knocking marriage because I'm married. I love my wife. But if you are single, spiritually, you have the best life. Say, well, how do I have the best life spiritually? Because you have more time to devote to Him. You have more time to be in prayer, especially if you ain't got no kids. You ain't got no kids and you single. Huh. You got all the time. You can go. You can go. You can travel. You can do all this stuff. But yet, I'm talking about the spiritual. You can pray instead of saying, where is my husband? Where is my wife? Where is this? Where I've been there. So I already know the single game because I've been there. I've been there. Before I met my wife, I was like, where is my wife? When is it going to happen for me? I see all these people. I see all these couples holding hands in and out of the church. I see it. When is it going to happen for me? This is the time for you to get yourself together. This is the time for you because you have a chance right now to get in line with Him, to get everything straight that you need to get straight with God. Because you got all the time in the world, especially if you have no children. If you marry, you still got time. You got time. You better make time. If you don't have no time, you better tell the kid, hey, if you got kids and a husband or a wife, sometimes you need to tell them, hey, wait a minute, baby. Babe, I got to do some talking to the Lord right now. Kids, I got to do some talking to the Lord right now. At the end of the day, if your wife or your husband get upset with you, if they in holiness, they shouldn't get upset with you. But you might, we got some people that, they married and everything, but yet they spend more time with the Lord than they do their families. And that's wrong too, because it has to be a balance. He honors to have family. If he didn't, he wouldn't have created Adam and Eve. Amen. To be a balance, you have to spend your time level should be more in Christ than with your wife. You should love the Lord more than your wife. My father and mother say it all the time. I love the Lord more than I love him. I love the Lord more than I love her. My mother and my father say that to each other. Have said it. Standing right next to each other, to other people. I've said it. My brother and my sister-in-law have said it. I love the Lord more than I love him. Because if you don't, you can't love your spouse. This is part of the 911 emergency. But we got several 911 emergencies going on in and out of the church. We got sinners that are looking for life in all the wrong places. We got young people that are up in the church, that have been born and raised in the church. They don't know how to live life because they haven't been taught. Maybe they have and they don't want to listen to it. But you should teach them life. See, my former pastor and my current pastors, they're life preachers. They teach you how to live life today. See, that's where I get mine from. That's why I can talk about certain things. And I say it on my podcast. We bring the Bible to now. What gave me the idea to start the podcast was the fact that the Lord told me, Lord started bringing back to my remembrance my friends that I went to high school with. And they would ask me questions about the Bible. They didn't understand. Some understood it, some didn't. And they would ask me questions. And I'd give them an honest answer. And I'd tell them up front. And I'll say it on this show. If you call in, you can call in and talk to me. Call in and talk to me. But I'm going to tell you this. Before you call, if I'm going to ask you, do you want a lie or do you want the truth? Which everybody going to win. If you know me, you know I'm going to tell you the truth anyway, no matter how hard it hurts me or you. I'm going to do it out of love. I'm going to do it a loving way. But I've always told any one of my friends that's asked me anything spiritual, because if I tell them the wrong thing and they go out and do it, even if they don't go out and do it, I'm still held liable for telling them. The blood is on my hands because I knew the truth. I had a friend, one of my best friends, and I was at school, and one of my friends, he was like, "Man, dude, why don't you do what we do? Why don't you ever, you know, hang out with us?" And I said, because, you know, I'm always involved in church and, you know, other things. And he's like, "But you don't smoke, you don't drink, you don't do this, you don't do that." He's like, "You can still be a Christian and still, you know, smoke, you know, do this, go to a club every now and then, da 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 da." I'm like, "No, that's not me. Even if I wasn't, and this is the honest God truth, even if I wasn't saved, that was never me. First of all, that's not my personality. That's never been me. But when I got saved, it became more of, okay, I'm going to stay away from that." Because I used to watch my family members, my extended family members, not my mother and my father, but my extended family members, like my aunts and my uncles, and I watched them, you know, do stuff like that. And they'd be messed up. And I'm like, "Wait a minute, if they're doing that and that's messing them up, I don't want to do that." So that was never me. But my best friend came to this individual and said, "Leave him alone. Leave him alone." And he said, "Because he's saved. I know he's saved. He's saved." And my other friend said, "Well, I'm saved too." He said, No. "He's a different type of saved. He don't do that because he's saved. Leave him alone. Otherwise, you got to deal with me. He can't cuss at you. He can't do none of that, but I can." I said, "Well," and my friend's name was Lamont. And I said, "Well," after my other friend walked away, I asked him, I said, "Well, why did you do that?" I said, "Well, why in the world did you do that? He said, "Because I was protecting you." He said, "Out of everybody I know," he said, "I know you're going to tell me. If I ask you something about God, I know you're going to tell me the truth. And I need you." He said, when I can't get to church and I ask you to pray for me," he said, I know you can get a prayer through. That's why I did that. He said, "If I ever see you step outside of what God tells you to do, I'm going to get you myself." He knew my standard of holiness. That's what I'm talking about. People should know your standard of holiness even before you say anything. And he was real with it. And he wasn't saved. He wasn't saved at the time. But he knew my standard for holiness. And he said, it came out of his own mouth, that "When I need prayer, I come to you because I know you can get a prayer through, because I know your life is right. All these other people, I'm not asking them to pray for me. I'm not asking everybody to baptize me. he before, and he is, he, my friend is deceased now, but before he died, he asked to get baptized. And he called me. He called me and he said, Adam, I wanna repent and I wanna be baptized. And I said, okay. I said, well, you know, you can find you a church to go to and they'll baptize. He said, No. He said, I don't want just anybody to baptize me. He said, I want Pop to baptize me. He was talking about my dad. Because we were so close as friends that we called each other cousins, brothers, and you know, I knew his dad now is still, I still call him Pop. He would call my dad Pop. Because he knew that when he came over my house, he felt safe with us. Not saying that he didn't feel safe with his dad and his mother, but he was in that presence of holiness. So at the end of the day, what I'm saying is this. We must get to a place, cut out all the isms and the schisms of life, and get to work. Because we can have all the faith in the world. We can have faith as a grain of a mustard seed that God is going to do what he said he was going to do. We can have faith. We can quote that scripture all day. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But it also says faith without works is dead. We have a 911 emergency, and at the end of the day, we got to get to work because we are living in the last days. The woman with the issue of blood made up in her mind, I'm not going to go to Dr. So-and-so. I'm not going to go to Mrs. Dr. So-and-so. I heard a man coming through town named Jesus, and I heard that he healed blind eyes and raised the dead. I'm going to see what he can do for me. And she made up in her mind. Her faith was activated. She activated her faith when she said, but if I can just touch but the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. We have to get that made whole today. We got to get to, even if we have to crawl, she crawled to him. She crawled to him. And once he heals us, we have to, once he delivers us out of the things that we're in, because I said it on my podcast, we cannot fly heavy. We can't fly with all this stuff on us. When you take a flight, I said it on the show about a month ago. I think it was about a month ago, almost a month. Oh no, it's been a month. It's been a month. Okay. I said this on the show a month ago that I was going to California. I had to prepare myself to go to California. Before you go on an airplane flight, nowadays because of the pandemic, you have to make sure that you buy your ticket, because you got to make sure that the price is right for your ticket. Make sure you got the funds to pay for the ticket. Make sure that you got a ride there to the airport. Whether you have a car or not, make sure your car is working to take you there to the airport. You gotta work all that stuff out. You gotta wash your clothes and get your shoes and all your smell goods and all that stuff together. Put it in the luggage. Then you gotta go to the airport. Not only you gotta work there too. It's a job there, y'all. Going through TSA and all that stuff. You got to prepare yourself. Well, we got to prepare ourselves for heaven. How can, and I'm going to ask this question, and I might step on some toes doing it, but how can you say you want to go to heaven and don't prepare? Don't even mention heaven if you're not getting the mindset to prepare to go. Don't even mention it. Don't even say, don't even tell that lie. If you say you want to go to heaven and you're not preparing yourself to go to heaven, you don't want to go to heaven. You're lying to yourself. But I don't have to be in church to have a relationship with God. I can read my Bible at home and I can pray at home. The Lord is everywhere. Yes, he's everywhere. But like I said before, in a relationship, in a friendship, you don't want that friendship or that relationship to be one-sided. You don't always want the Lord coming to you. He wants you to come to his house sometime. He does not want to. That's a one-sided relationship, and I don't want to be inside no one-sided relationship. If my wife tells me she loves me and never shows me, and I'm always showing her that she loves me, that I love her, but she never shows, then that's a one-sided relationship. That's a one-sided marriage. One-sided. I'm giving everything, but my wife isn't. The devil is a liar. Wouldn't be married to her. No, sorry, Bob. Would not be. Same thing with the Lord. Why should the... Look, we want the benefits of Christ. We want the blessings of Christ, but we don't want to give towards the work of Christ. Come next Sunday. Lord knows my heart. Yep, that's why he said he wants to take out that stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. I'm hitting it today. I told you I was going to kill me a devil today. I'm gonna hit every excuse in the next 12, 13 minutes I got left of this show. You got an excuse? I'm going to hit it. Well, my body hurts. I'm tired. I've been working all week. I've been at work too, and I got a heart condition. I was born with it. Doctor said I was born with a heart condition. Look, I done been church racing. Let me tell you a little bit of my testimony. I have went to church, literally went to church, heart racing, in trouble. You might say, well, that's crazy. Why would you go to church and your heart is out of rhythm? I'm not talking about my heart being out of rhythm. I'm talking about me being in pain. Well, you should go to the hospital. I did. I went to the hospital. I did. I don't believe it. Now, I do not denounce hospital. If you need to go to the hospital, go to the hospital. Go ahead. But I'm hitting the people that are making excuses. I got to work. The Lord gave you that job anyway. The Lord gave you the strength to go on that job anyway. So why are you making the excuse, I'm tired? You tired because you did it. You worked all them hours. You chose to work all them hours. You have, look, let me tell you something. They have laws that are passed in the United States to where when you start a job, see, I'm hitting every excuse today. If you start a job, say you're in an interview. You're on an interview and you tell that person that because of spiritual reasons, I cannot work on Sunday. If you tell them up front and they say okay and they hire you, they have to honor that because you told them up front. For real, I kid you not. Every single job I've worked at, I've told them up front. I have never, on the job that I'm on right now, I have never worked a Sunday. Never. Not one time. I was honest with them up front. See, a lot of people are not honest with them up front because you know why they don't talk about in their interviews? They don't want to talk about, I don't want to work on Sundays because I got to go to church. You know why they don't tell them that? Because sometimes it ain't in their heart to even go. They care more about they care more about the money. Some, not all. Some care more about working for the money in their house instead of leaning and depending on the Lord. I don't know who I'm talking to today. But about people's finances, I've done said this before. Stop worrying about your finances. stop worrying about your finances, whoever I'm talking to. I'm going to say it like my former pastor used to say. I'm talking to who I'm talking to. I don't even know who I'm talking to because I can't see you. You can only hear me. But we must understand faith without works is dead. When you sit over there and say, when you put God on the back burner, you're not working your faith. You're not working your faith. You're working doubt. You're working doubt. You're not working your faith. The Bible, we said it earlier, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I hear you, Pastor Bishop Cook. I hear you quoting the scriptures. Amen. I hear you in the spirit. But I understand that you have to work. I understand you got other power. We all do. But at the end of the day, we got to put God's work first. We got to put God's work first. Now, am I saying that everything we say and everything we do, every time we talk, every word that comes out of our mouth has to be Jesus, 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 Jesus? No. I didn't say that when the bill collectors call you, that you start rebuking them in Jesus' name. No, I didn't say that. There has to be a balance. Because we're in a state of, we're in a 911 emergency. Because at the end of the day, none of this stuff is going with us. None of that stuff in your house, none of that stuff in your apartment, none of that stuff is going with you when you see, when you stand before the Lord. This is mortal stuff. Mortal. This is not immortality here. We're not setting up. We're pilgrims passing through this present world. We're not setting up stuff to stay here. Why would I want to stay in this corrupt land? Why? When I got a mansion waiting on me. But I got to prepare myself. When I got streets of gold waiting on me. When I have all the riches of heaven waiting on me, I was giving myself of this world. No, I don't need if the riches of this world put me in a place where I can't go to heaven. I don't need it. I don't want it. The end of the day, we're sitting in a 911 emergency in and out of the church. The world has a 911 emergency, and the church has one too. And all together, we're one big 911 emergency. But our dispatch is prayer. Our dispatch is fasting to the Lord to fix every problem that we have. And our faith tells, Lord, they need this. Lord, she needs this. Lord, he needs that. And then the Lord comes in and rescues us. The Lord comes in and be that spiritual police, that spiritual fighter, that spiritual EMT, and corrects the things that need to be corrected, and rebukes the things that need to be rebuked, and come and brings it all together full circle. Brings it all together full circle. If you are not saved, I beg you. I don't beg nobody to do nothing. Please, I beg you, get saved today. Because you have to make your calling and election sure. There's a lot of people that are leaving here like they came. They're coming in the world in sin, and they're leaving in the world in sin, and they're not seeing heaven. How do I know? Because the Bible says hell enlarges itself daily. And when Satan was kicked out, there was no more sin in heaven. When Satan did what he did in heaven, and Jesus kicked, he said, because it was a sin to try to put yourself above God. To even think that way, that was a sin. So when he kicked that out, there ain't nobody. That's why hell is enlarging itself, because there's no sin that's going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And he's just preparing you for where you want to go. You might say all day that you want to go to heaven. You might say all day that you want to go to heaven. But it's your life that speaks volumes. My Uncle JC used to say, you can talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? Hey, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So on today, I ask you today, will you be able to not only talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? Can you walk the walk towards salvation? Can you walk the walk of going towards holiness? Can you do it? The Bible says you can, because in Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. So you can do it. You can do it. You just have to have the mindset. You just have to activate your faith. You just have to have the mindset like the woman with the issue of blood did. She activated her faith. She had the mindset. She said, I will be delivered today. I'm not going nowhere else, even if I have to crawl. And we know that she crawled because she said, if I could but touch with the hem of this garment. And she touched the hem of his garment. And he told that woman, thy faith has made thee whole. Daughter, faith has made thee whole. Your faith. We're living in a 911 emergency. And we got to get it right in Jesus' name. As it states in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the only way, Bible-based, to make it into heaven. Because after you've done that, it says in Acts 1:8, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall have power. You'll have power to live right, power to talk right, power to walk right, power to talk right, live right, and do everything right. Is this life going to be a flower bed of bees? No, it's not. But I'm telling you, it's the best life you could ever live. In Jesus' name. God bless you. I love each and every one of you. We thank again Bishop Cook for allowing us to come another Saturday. And I thank you, Bishop Cook, for standing in my stead on last week.
No worries.
People of God, I love you. I love you. I love you. And you know what? I know my time is spent, but to do something real quick before I leave you, I want to pray because I want to pray for our young people right now.
Amen.
Because our young people, and I'm not just talking about young black men. I'm talking about any young person that's going through. But we see a lot of brutality going on. I'm not just talking about police brutality. I'm talking about mental brutality, everything, whether it be in and out of the home. But this is what the Lord has given me. So I want to pray right now for each and every person, and I say young people, but any person that's battling with anything, saint or sinner, right now. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you right now, Lord God, asking you, well, first thanking you for this day. We thank you for what you have done. We thank you for what you're getting ready to do in all parts of the world. Lord, we thank you for this ministry of the Spirit Alive Network. We thank you for Bishop Cook, Lord, giving her the vision. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come to preach your word. And we're asking you to just bless the state of this country. Let America turn back around to you, God. Let the isms and the schisms of the church be non-void. Deliver us from our isms and our schisms. Deliver us in our present state, Lord God. If it's a state of defeat, deliver us. If it's a state of uncleanness, deliver us. But Lord, give us the light that you have set for us. Give us our path, Lord, and show us where to go. Lord, I'm asking you right now to touch every young person, touch their minds, Lord, touch where they go. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I love each and every one of you. And until next time, stay blessed. Wear your mask. Continue to sanitize. Continue to be cautious of this pandemic, y'all. Because I believe we're almost at the light at the end of the tunnel, y'all. I believe it. You have to believe it too. But still, until we get there, stay safe in Jesus' name. God bless you. And until next week, I will see you on the summit with Adam Tuggle in Jesus' name. God bless you in Jesus' name.
Amen.